welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
For the spirit of heaviness, and I'm sure not just here in the sanctuary, but in your homes, God broke up the fallow ground, and he has now prepared us to receive his word. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Oh, God, we give you glory. We give you praise. We give you honor. And I am so privileged today to have the honor of serving you. Oh, to God be the glory. Oh, to God be the glory. Praise the Lord. See, it's good to write notes. It's under. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's good to write a little note up there because I need a little prop for the message today. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. See how good the Lord is. We so busy worried about, God, how am I going to do this and how am I going to do that and what's going to happen here and whatever, and I don't have time. And God say, who am I? Trust me. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise Jesus. We're going to, thank you, sir. Praise the Lord. I'm still here. You just can't see me. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. We're going to get about the word for us this morning, the other word. He had all that, but this is another word he has for us this morning. From 1978 to 1986, there was a sitcom on TV about two young brothers from Harlem being adopted by their late mother's white employer who lived in a Park Avenue penthouse in Manhattan. And now y'all know, all y'all who go to Redeemer, those of you who are visiting with us, or you just clicked in and said, what's this church? They all shouting all over the place. I'm not a singer. I do not profess to be a singer, okay? So this is the show's lyrics. I'll try to get a rhythm. I'm not going to sing. Now the world don't move to the beat of just one drum. What might be right for you may not be right for some. A man is born, he's a man of means. Then along came two, they got nothing but their genes. But they got different strokes, it takes different strokes. It takes different strokes to move the world. Praise Jesus. Most of us remember Arnold on Different Strokes asking that question that became so popular and it's still used today. What you talking about, Willis? He usually asked it when he was confused by something that Willis was saying. Well, the Lord wants to challenge us today by asking us that question. In the midst of this tragic global pandemic and revelation for some of systemic racism in America, what you talking about, Christian? Will you bow in prayer with me? God, we just thank you for meeting us here today. We thank you for adorning us with praise. We thank you, God, for helping us to cast off all our cares and concentrate on you. Because when we worship you, we do forget about ourselves. So right now, God, we ask that you bring in our wandering minds, settle us in our spirits, and bless each one under the sound of my voice to have an encounter with you through your preach word. Preach, Lord, just for your glory we pray and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now will you stand for the reading of God's word? It's in Psalm 19. Psalm 19. It's one psalm in the book of Psalms. Praise the Lord. Psalm 19, and I'm going to be reading for you all the last verse, verse 14. Psalm 19, verse 14. Praise Jesus, even in the midst of this Technical Society. I still hear pages rustling. Hallelujah. Psalm 19, verse 14. Praise the Lord. In the King James, it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Praise the Lord. This is the word of God for us today. We who are the people of God, thanks be to God. Although that one verse is our focus, I will give a very brief synopsis of the psalm. It's a psalm of David, and it was given to the minister of music of his day because it was meant to be used for the worship of God in the sanctuary. Although some scholars believe it's actually three psalms or poems or hymns, it has been entered into the canon of Scripture as one. It's easy to see how some came to that conclusion about it being three psalms, because as I was wrestling with this psalm with the Lord and questioning him about the flow of the psalm, even though the focus of the message is the last verse, it did seem there was three different segments, and I had to wrestle with that asking the Lord. But as I've said, and the Lord's going to keep me on that, this message is not about from the psalm. The focus is verse 14. But here we go. You see, the psalm in a nutshell is a focus on communication. In verses 1 through 6, David focused on the words God's creation proclaims, or speaks, if you will, of the glory of his creation. Because it says the heavens declare the glory of God. But then in verses 7 through 12, David shows how God's words speak, giving commandments and laws, essentially enlightening man as to how God wants us to live and the result of adhering to God's rules, reverencing him. And then in 12 to 14, he focuses on himself, more aware now than ever that he's a sinner. Since his prayer flows from these verses, I will read them, because he says, who can understand his own errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. David's secret sins or secret faults were those things that were unintentional, accidental, and his presumptuous sins were intentional, rebellious acts, and he does not want them to rule him. So in verse 14 is his conclusion, the words of his mouth and the focus of his heart, who he is outwardly with his words and who he is inwardly. Now, I want to give just a note about presumptuous sins, because God Questions explains that for us. Presumptuous sins are deliberate. They are committed with the full knowledge that they are sins and in full light of what God has said. Presumptuous sins are premeditated. Presumptuous sins, there is with them the intent to sin and the time of deliberation before the act itself. Okay, I will. Somebody say, read that again. Presumptuous sins are premeditated. There is intent to sin and a time of deliberation before the actual act. Presumptuous sins can only be committed in suppression of the conscience and in spite of its appeals. You know, it's saying, don't do that. You know you shouldn't do that. Don't do that. Don't, you should know you shouldn't do that. Don't say that. You shouldn't say don't, you, that. That's what I mean. Those who sin presumptuously say, in effect, I'm going to do this, and nothing is going to stop me. I know what God says about it, and I don't care if it's wrong. I'm going to do it anyway. What you talking about, Christian? We presumptuously sin with our words more than we can imagine. Oh, help us, Lord. But as I said earlier, the focus of this sermon is verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What are we saying out of our mouths? What's today's hot topics? Well, right now we're in the midst of a holiday weekend, which is in the midst of a full-fledged pandemic. Labor Day weekend 2020. Where are we? Where are we going? Do masks and social distancing play any part in our plans? Christian, what are we saying about that as Christians? And who are we saying it to? The second hot topic we're in the midst of, a season, it's going to be more than a season. We're in the midst of a time that has been called a time of social unrest, with a revelation of systemic racism in America, with its theme, Black Lives Matter. What are we saying about that as Christians? And who are we saying it to? The third hot topic is this upcoming election. What are we saying about that as Christians? And who are we saying it to? The fourth hot topic is getting back to normal. Getting back to church. What are we saying about that as Christians? And who are we saying it to? Does God have anything to say about what we're talking about? Is he interested at all in what we're saying? Well, let's take a look at just a few of God's words on our words. James 3:10 in the New King James says, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. James 3:10. Ephesians 4:29 in the Amplified says, do not let unwholesome, foul, profane, worthless, vulgar words ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good for building up others according to the need and the occasion, so that it will be a blessing to those who hear you speak. Proverbs 15:1-4 in the NIV says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And that's how arguments can go on all day long. The tongue of the wise adorns knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. I thought it was interesting in those verses because there were four verses there, but in that verse 3, Solomon put in there, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. He didn't say about the ears because these other verses are talking about the tongue. But it's very interesting to know wherever we are, if we're born again, and whatever it is that we're saying, God the Holy Spirit is right there on the inside. And we're subjecting him to whatever it is that we're saying out of our mouth. Proverbs 18:21 in the New King James says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Luke 6:45 in the NIV says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. But an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. You know how sometimes somebody says, oh, shoot, I didn't mean to say that. You need to add two words to that. Out loud. Because out of the abundance of your heart, out of my heart, those words came. Matthew 12, 36, Jesus says, but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. I have a tube of toothpaste here. And I want us from now on, whenever we see a tube of toothpaste, and we should be seeing one at least once a day, preferably twice a day. Okay, some with dental issues after every meal. Amen? A tube of toothpaste. So when you see the tube, say, these are my words kept in this tube of toothpaste. I'm squeezing toothpaste out of the tube. My grandkids are going to kill me. This is their toothpaste. That toothpaste is on this cloth. No matter what I might try to do, I cannot put it back in. Once our words are out there, they're out there. No matter how many times we say we're sorry, we cannot take them back. That's why James 1:19 says, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because remember the toothpaste. You cannot put your words back once they're out there. So what you talking about, Christian? If the heavens are declaring the glory of God simply by their being, then what are you and I saying simply by our being? What part of God's glory are we declaring by just being who we are? Talk is cheap. It's our lives that are speaking. You and I can garner all the biblical education we can get our hands on, but to what end? What you talking about, Christian? After all that book learning, what's your life saying? And for those of you who love to read and are reading every Christian book that comes down the pike, what's up? All of it's for nothing if your life ain't changing. What you talking about, Christian? Round the way. What do they have to say about you round the way? Oh, that you're still down even though you go to church? Or that you're going to church, but they know all about what else you got going on? Because they do see the comings and goings, you know. You know, you're coming home from going to church and ain't nothing changed. You still treat your neighbors and your family the same way you did before you said you were saved. Walking in from church, ain't spoke to nobody. Somebody just say, ouch. What's your life talking about, Christian? On the job. Your words are so spirit-filled on Monday mornings when you talk about church. But you're still late 3 out of 5 days. And you take the longest breaks, and you're always on probation and about to lose your job. But that's just because the supervisor doesn't like you, right? And if they're of a different hue, it's because I'm black, they picking on me. Don't you dare say Black Lives Matter when you're doing that kind of stuff. What's your life talking about, Christian? To your family. Why do you still favor that son or that daughter? Or that daughter over that son, or any combination thereof. And you do this so callously, so casually. And you don't give a hoot about how you're hurting your children and their children and their children. You like bragging about how many grands you've got, but how much pain have you passed down from generation to generation because of your favoritism? And why is it that you won't discipline your children, yet you want others to babysit them? If the world says no child left behind, why is it okay for you to do it? And what about you? You who teach and preach, and yet your family could sing, "Love don't live here anymore. You abandoned me. Love don't live here anymore. Just a vacancy. Love don't live here anymore." What's your life talking about, teacher, preacher, elder, bishop, deacon, trustee? What's your life talking about with your family, your biological family? Your church family just loves you, don't they? But what about that biological family? Oh, glory to your name, Lord. David cried out, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." And he said that not before he preached or taught anything, but before he went another further in his life, because he realized that whatever he said out of his mouth demonstrated what was going on in his heart. That is why he could cry out later in Psalm 141, 3, "Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips." What you talking about, Christian? Not just with your words, but with your life. Does it matter to you? Does it matter to me what we're saying to the world about our God? It mattered to David because he was in relationship with God. Relationship with God caused him to pause that day when he wrote Psalm 19. He paused to look at God's creation and how it spoke volumes about the glory of God. He paused to look at God's word and how it spoke volumes about how God wanted him to live. And he paused to look at himself, because focusing on God, his creation, and his word will cause anyone in relationship with God to look at him or herself. And I dare say, if David had been here with us this morning, just the songs that God had us to sing, he would have focused on them. Because at the beginning we said, "I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way." That's what he's saying. He said, "Because this is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior." You got a Savior today? That's good news. We got a Savior. Then he said, "Savior, my Savior is a promise keeper." Hallelujah. He's a way maker. He's a light in the darkness. And then at the end of that, he could say, with Minister Tamika, "I really love the Lord." What you talking about today, Christian? About the pandemic, about racism, about the coming election, about getting back to normal, back to church. Does anything we say about any of those topics bring glory to God or even demonstrate that we know him? If we know him, then we must know some of his word. Then we could apply it to every one of those situations. For example, the pandemic, Hosea 6:1, "Come and let us return to the Lord. For he has torn and he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. And then add to that Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are the called according to his purpose for them. Racism. Acts 17:26. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. What about the upcoming election? God's got something for that too. Psalm 75:6-7. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Oh, amen. Oh. Work the room, Lord. Yeah, he's in charge. And then getting back to normal or getting back to church. First of all, there is no normal. There's only now a new normal. And then getting back to church. Oh, here we go, Lord. He's got a word for that too. Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. The ministry of the church, not Redeemer, the body of Christ, is outside the church walls. And now God's got us out there. Hallelujah. We may never get back inside the church, but will we do the work of the church? Christian, if the heavens and all of creation are speaking, talking to humanity about God's glory, how much more should we who are made in his image and likeness, made not only lower than the angels, but in the Hebrew text, it actually says we were made lower than God. If that isn't enough for us to want our tongues and, yes, our very lives to speak for him, then how about the fact that we have been redeemed by the blood of the one who knew no sin, but he became sin for us that we might actually become God's righteousness in him, in Christ. What you talking about, Christian? Not just with your words, but with your life. And I pray that we all learn one thing. Because people think, oh, I like all that passing out tracts. Let me tell you something. Our greatest evangelistic tool is our life. Talk is cheap. You can give out tracts and be mean as a junkyard dog. Our lives are speaking volumes. What are they saying to the world? What are they saying to the world about our God? Do we realize our responsibility, our privilege is to represent him? What are we doing? Rice should have to turn people away, because we are so interested in being all that we could be for God. and being equipped with his word. Oh, I never was a good student. I can't do that. I don't have time. Well, God hooked it up. He put you in a pandemic, and you can do it on Zoom. You can do it in the privacy of your own home. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, but I don't want to do that. What are our lives saying? And do we want them to say anything different? See, talk is cheap. We can hear this word and go right back to business as usual. But I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice does not have another peaceful night's sleep until you check with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and ask him about what your life is saying and about what it is that he wants you to do. Oh, we're going to do our best for that job. Child, they're going to send me to Massachusetts for training for 2 weeks. I got to get on. I got to go there, girl. I got to get a babysitter. I got to do this. I got to do that. And we do it for money. But our souls, not our lives, our souls have been saved. We're headed for heaven if we've been born again. And some of you, you haven't even been born again. You good church members. And every time you hear the word and somebody say something to you about you being born again, you get mad about it. Get mad today and get saved. No more church membership. Body of Christ membership. That's the only membership that counts. What you talking about, Christian? Are your words and your life lining up? Break our hearts, Lord, over our complacency about what we don't want to do. I ain't got time for this. You got all the time in the world. All you got to do is ask God, what would you have me to do? I want you to go to Rice. Well, Lord, how am I going to do that with all you got me doing? That's all he wants you to do is ask him, and he's going to show you week by week by week. He ain't going to show you it all in advance. He's going to show it to you every night when school starts, how he made a way for you to be in class that night. What you talking about, Christian? Words of faith or words of failure? There is no failure in God. Will you stand with me as we pray? Right now, there's a whole lot of things that the Holy Ghost is doing. And I'm not going to interfere with what he's doing with my limited mindset. But God, right now, every person under the sound of my voice has heard from you in some way or another. And I ask, Lord God, that right now you tweak that for them. Tweak that for them, God. So they'll know not what they're supposed to do tomorrow, but what they're supposed to do after this service. Because some folks need to hit their knees and say, God, I'm sorry that I've been living just for me. And somebody else, you're not born again. You know you're not saved. But at the end of the day, you got to have your reservation in order, because once you die, you don't get another chance to be saved. It's interesting how the Catholics, you know, when the priest has to come in the hospital, they won't give last rites to a dead body. And so too, I said, boy, that's interesting. You cannot get saved when you leave here. You only can get saved while there's breath in your body. And God said it's not his wish that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He didn't call us to be church members. He called us to be members of the body of Christ. And then once we come to him, he owns us. See, we were owned by the devil before. I wasn't owned by no devil. I ain't owned by no devil. I hear you out there. What's she talking about? What's she talking about? What's she talking about, Willis? What's she talking about? There's only two jurisdictions that we were under. Either we were following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now still works in the children of disobedience, or we were following God. And so we didn't give the devil no flack when he whispered something in our ear. Go stay for another drink. One more ain't gonna hurt you. You'll get home in time. We didn't give him no argument. All right, give me another one. Matter of fact, give them one too. It's all on me. Oh, we know how it went.
My God.
But then we come to God, and we kicking and screaming at every little thing he'll say to do. But for somebody, God is looking for somebody the same way he was looking for that one man to say yes back in the day when Dwight Moody said, God, I'll be that man. God is still looking for one person just to say, yes, Lord, I'll say yes to your will and to your way. I'll say yes. Is that you today? Wherever you are, all that stuff you did before, it don't matter to God. God knew about that before you were a twinkle in your daddy's eye. So don't worry about that, your background. He knows about your background. He brought you to hear this message today because of your background. Because he wants you to just come to him so that he can give you new life in Christ. Come to him and become a part of his family and get to know him. Precious God, we bless you, to praise you. And we thank you for meeting us here today. We thank you for meeting us in our homes. We thank you for meeting us in the laundromat this morning. Somebody didn't know how they was going to do it, going to the laundromat, but you showed them how. We thank you, God, for the stranger and the visitor that were with us today, because we were all with you. God, seal that word to us. Don't let us have any peace about our words, God. Don't let us have any peace about our words and our lives lining up. Convict us, convince us, and convert us. Because you are the King eternal, immortal, invisible. You are the only God, and it's to you be honor and glory both now and forevermore. People of God, we have come into worship in our sanctuary, in our homes, in the laundromat, in the car. Now let us go forth to serve. Amen. Praise the Lord.